En estas elecciones haz que tu voz cuente. Lleva a tus familiares y amigos a las urnas para que también voten. Tu voto cuenta. No permitas que otros decidan por ti. Las urnas permanecerán abiertas hasta las 8 de la noche. Por favor, no olvides llevar tu identificación a las urnas, porque tu voto cuenta, porque tu voto es tu voz. Vota.
I accept your nomination.
I am Joe Shikachi, Speaker of the Rhode Island House. We are the smallest state, but we have the biggest ideas. Home to the nation's first wind farm and historic act on climate, we continue leading the way on sustainability and housing. The deep blue ocean state is proud to cast one vote present and 34 ballots for the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris! Yeah!
Welcome to Latino Public Radio. Of course, we are here at a seminal event in Rhode Island politics, the Latino Public Radio Political Barbecue, the first of the season in what appears to be, well, contentious, chaotic, wildly entertaining political season. Not sure which, both on an ultra-local level, cities like Pawtucket are having major elections. There's, of course, the ongoing congressional elections. Seems like you just finished one. You'll get to start again.
Right back at it.
We've got a senatorial election. They tell me there's a presidential election going on.
There's a rumor of a presidential election.
But in Rhode Island, all politics are local. Yes. All politics are personal. Congressman Gabe Amo, first of all, I was there election night. It was quite a night for you. It was quite a campaign. We were there many steps along the way. Another congratulations. Now, particularly since you've made it through the first hurdle, talk to us about your first, well, sort of mini term, if you will, as congressman.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm grateful to Latino Public Radio for having me and grateful to spend time with you, Pat, because throughout the campaign, you or someone who I got to see covered different angles of this and gave me an opportunity to demonstrate my commitment, my readiness, and really the real passion that I have for service. Over the last 9 months, really, is what I've been in Congress. I got sworn in on November 13th of 2023. Of course, the primary was September 5th of last year, but it wasn't official until I crossed the hurdle and had a decisive win, 30 points in November. And since then, you know, I've had to vote to keep the government open, not once, not twice, but, you know, three times and a couple different other ways if you're really counting. We've obviously had critical aid packages for our national security. We've had, on December 11th, my birthday, the Washington Bridge be closed. So a range of important things, and that's not even to mention all the work that I've been doing on behalf of Democrats around the country to ensure that Vice President Kamala Harris is our next president. So it's been intense. I've dug into work on my committees on science, space, and technology and foreign affairs, and I've also worked on pieces of legislation that affect Rhode Island in a range of ways.
You're running for re-election.
I am.
It appears to be nowhere near as contentious.
Certainly by the number of candidates.
Right. Reflect, if you will, on the personal issues that Rhode Islanders are facing across northern Rhode Island, where I happen, full disclosure, I happen to live, and I do run a small nonprofit aimed at, if you will, not ending homelessness, but trying to service the folks who are suffering from a housing crisis. What are your thoughts on what efforts are you bringing to bear, and what would you like to see now that you've had really an opportunity, as it were, to get your feet wet? What's your sense going forward of how you can help the local Rhode Island economy and those folks?
Yeah. Well, look, at the macro level, which also intersects with the micro, are the challenges around costs. Right, and the inflationary pressures that we've experienced, because some of it, you know, as you know, inflation is often a lagging feeling, right? It may be recovering and back to 2020 20 levels. However, when I talk to people in the Whole Foods Hot Bar, which is a place where I get a lot of my business done, they talk about how come chicken is so expensive. So what some of the things that we need to do, in fact, are focusing on corporate accountability. Right, there is, a greedflation as has been discussed. We need to make sure that corporate actors are being held accountable in a way that is, responsible and reasonable, but that, the burden isn't borne by folks who have not seen wage increases, who have not seen their stead improve. So that's a macro thing that affects us here in Rhode Island. More micro, our housing situation here. We know supply is constrained. We're slow on housing starts. Demand is high. Prices are high. You've got the role of private equity involved. So I've worked on pieces of legislation to address the pipeline challenges on supply. We have had an opportunity to increase the low-income housing tax credit through legislation in the House. Mm-hmm. Hasn't passed the Senate. We have to get it through the Senate. But that is so stimulative because the costs of construction are high. Additionally, worked on legislation to give first-time home buyers assistance, which we saw Vice President Harris talk about as well. And we have to continue to surge resources to support the homeless. So I've worked on legislation to help accelerate the conversion of spaces, of buildings into, and that state, local, and federal government building, into potential lodging. It doesn't happen overnight, but those are all strategies where I have specific legislation to address those. And the last thing I would say that affects us here is certainly transportation. Have seen difficulties with reliable transportation on public transportation, and I, wherever I've had the opportunity, have spoken about that and pursued some funding to address gaps that we have here in Rhode Island.
There's a lot of frustration on a couple of levels. First of all, let's talk about RIPTA and funding. In a state where the Commerce Corporation gets tens of millions of dollars. It seemed like RIPTA, we affectionately call it here the RIPTA. Mm-hmm. The RIPTA was...
I used to call it Uncle RIPTA when I grew up.
Okay. But Uncle RIPTA or the RIPTA seems to have to, every budget cycle, have to fight over table scraps.
Yeah.
Is there a way to bring together in a some sort of normal, steady stream, mm-hmm. an income flow for RIPTA that is both federal and local?
Yeah.
Because... in the absence of RISTA and the R line, and by the way, the folks at RIPTA who work there, the boots on the ground, do a phenomenal job.
Amazing people.
But with their, particularly the new interim CEO.
Yeah.
So is there a way to somehow introduce some level of stability so we're not 1 month fighting for bus vouchers, another month trying to maintain the R line? This helter-skelter environment has critical impact on the unhoused and the working poor in the state. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, there is a dynamic interplay between federal and state funds as it relates to public transit. We know that that is largely governed by state agencies. However, federal government plays a big role. We have secured, and by we I mean our federal delegation, funds for major capital expenses, like getting new buses, clean electric buses to run on these lines efficiently. We have found money to help with some of those gaps. And in the bipartisan infrastructure law that President Biden and the 117th Congress put forward, there was more funding put towards public transit systems, both from a formula and a competitive standpoint. But there is more to do. And so I think that one of the things I want to pursue, because when you're in Congress, you're pursuing national, you're using a national platform to pursue local solutions. So you got to find partners. And so one of my missions here is to find systems that are similar, where they have a member of Congress who wants to work together, and they're on the appropriate committees, so that we can do, as you say, and provide more reliability in terms of the funding, so that there's predictability and we don't have changes quickly.
Right. In a city state like Rhode Island, it appears that there has to be a working relationship, starting at literally the school district.
Yeah.
The city council, the mayor, and Congress. We're so small and so local that those relationships have to be interlocking. They have to be seamless. And that seems to be happening with the newer, if you will, young forces in the legislature. Well, we got a minute or so. Yeah. I'd be remiss. To your eternal credit, when we were doing the primary, you were one of only two candidates that responded to our foreign policy interview request. So I've always appreciated that because, and here you are now.
A member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, yeah.
Right. So, Israel, two-state solution, is it possible?
Yes. Yes, but I think we need a breakthrough. And President Biden has suggested as much through the negotiations over the next week. We're here on April 17th. We hope that very shortly we will have a deal to provide three essential things. One, an end to the conflict. Mm-hmm. Two, a surge of humanitarian support combined with a release of hostages whose families have wondered where their family members are. And three, the foundations of a governance structure that can take us through an interim period. Because ultimately, I think this needs to have broad partnership between Arab nations and Israel to provide a mutual security. If one entity is not safe, the other isn't. And we have to do this while stemming the possibility of a multi-front war that Iran has in its interest. And we know that they are a chaos agent. And so we need to get unified against that threat.
A quick political question. National Convention, just literally days away. You'll be there?
I will be there, leaving tomorrow morning.
Rhode Island was one of the few states in the nation where the uncommitted vote broke through. And in fact, June Rose is going to be is attending.
Yes.
And is clearly someone deeply committed to ending the atrocities in Gaza. Mm. Do you expect the type of cooperation necessary for a political solution to come out of the Democratic National Convention? Will the uncommitted delegates be taken seriously?
Well, look, if they want to raise their voices, this is a moment. But they also know that the only path forward to achieve those ends of peace, security, and the future are with Vice President Harris. So you can make noise, but you have to be solutions and outcome-oriented. And so those two things have to be married. Because that is how we are going to see a better day for people in Israel, a better day for people in Gaza, and certainly don't forget about our brothers and sisters in the West Bank, to have a future that breaks the cycle of violence and hurt that so many have experienced.
Excellent. How can folks at District 1 reach out to you?
You can reach out to me in a multitude of ways. One, I'm easy to email. So anybody who wants to reach out to me, gabe@gabeamo.com. You can also, that's a sort of broad address, but if you want to reach our office in Pawtucket, the telephone number is 401-729-5600. The email address is gabe.amo@mail.house.gov. Please reach out to us. Thank you for the opportunity to serve.
LPR, porque tu voz es tu voto. No hay pretexto. Si quieres un cambio, tienes que votar. LPR te recuerda votar en estas elecciones primarias de Rhode Island. Haz que tu voz cuente. Acude hoy a las urnas y vota.